All right, this is Forrest Solis interviewing Erica Simon on May 27th, 2016 at 12:45 for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so if you can take us back to the conception, but could you also maybe revisit your, I'm assuming this is the father of your child as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe tell, set up like your relationship too, because it's
okay.
Yeah, really interesting.
So I've known David since I was 9, and I think sometimes we hold back how we met and how long we've been together, because I think there's a lot of skeptics these days that high school sweethearts actually make it. But we've been together for 15 years and married for almost 10. And we always knew we were going to have kids, just we didn't really ever say when and how many and do you want boys or girls or what that was all about. But we had been married 4 years. And I think around the time I turned 26, I said, you know, I feel like we need to have kids soon. So we actually definitely planned to get pregnant.
Pause.
Yeah.
It's really loud ticking. Okay, you have to say
no,
that
you're
last
fine.
Sentence.
So we absolutely planned to have kids. And I think more so now I hear a lot of my friends say, oh, it took me a year to get pregnant. And so that was the timeline we were operating off of. And a month later, we were pregnant with my daughter, Lexi. So we were very fortunate on that piece of things. But at the time, we were living in Minnesota. And we really, really wanted to be close to family when we had our kids. So we made all of the plans and orchestration to get back here. But I didn't ever expect for it to be as quickly as it happened. We literally found out we were pregnant with Lexi in January of 2011, and our house was on the market and sold by March. We had new jobs by May and had moved by June. And it was a lot to go through when you're pregnant. I had a lot of morning sickness and never really felt good for the first 20 weeks. We lived with family off and on, and looking back at it, you know, we went from basically sea level all the way up to Flagstaff to elevation, and that's kind of when things got bad. So I got really, really sick at about 27 weeks pregnant and went on bed rest for 6 weeks. Strict bed rest, like you have to lay flat kind of bed rest. You cannot move, you cannot get up, and most of it was because of blood pressure. So they couldn't get my blood pressure down at all. I was sitting like 170 over 100 constantly. And when I was about 31 weeks, I went into preterm labor, and then they were able to stave that off for 2 more weeks, and I had Lexi at 33 and a half weeks. So she was a premature baby, and that was really quite stressful. But during my pregnancy, like I said, I was really sick. I didn't gain a ton of actual like physical weight, but towards the end, I probably gained 40 pounds in fluid. Just really very sick with the high blood pressure and whatnot.
Can you elaborate on what you mean by sick?
So I had nausea, vomiting. I guess the technical term is hyperemesis gravidarum, where you like you can't stop throwing up. And so I had that, and then I remember vividly at 6 months I had only gained. I'd lost 11 pounds, and so they were super concerned, and I was like, well, I can't eat anything, and unfortunately, a lot of the recommendations you get are, well, here, take this pill, and it will stop your, it'll stop your nausea, but unfortunately, its side effect is then it makes you constipated, so I didn't really have good choices, so I preferred to be nauseous, but so like I said, I don't really actually know how much baby weight I gained. Maybe probably just the normal 15 to 20 pounds, but then really what I gained towards the end was a bunch of water weight from really poor blood pressure. And so I had what they call preeclampsia, where the blood pressure is really high and they worry about you going to liver and kidney failure. So that's, I guess, what I mean by really sick.
How did they stave off the premature labor?
So they actually tried magnesium, and that actually helps bring the blood pressure down. It's not something they would use. They primarily use it on pregnant people. So we tried that, and that actually got my contractions to stop. But then 2 weeks later, they actually opted to put me into labor because they were seeing lots of signs that baby was struggling and that I had really high blood pressure, and so they just opted to induce her.
Did you know the sex?
No, it was a complete surprise. So we painted the nursery green, and that drove my mother and mother-in-law crazy because I feel like everybody finds out these days, but we just decided we're going to pick two names, and there's not very many surprises in life anymore, so we're just going to wait. And it's funny, I feel like a lot of people have baby showers at, like, when they're really pregnant. My daughter actually got to be at her baby shower because she came so early. So inadvertently, we ended up with tons of pink because they already knew what she was.
So how did you feel about the birth? I mean, were you, like, the anticipation of having a baby. Right. What were the emotional feelings?
So I was terrified only because I felt like I had been so sick. I can't imagine how I'm going to have a baby when I feel so miserable. And I think when I think about it, and I've talked about this story tons of times with Catherine, but I never could picture in my mind actually pushing and actually having a baby. And I actually had C-sections with both of my kids, and I just never felt like that was going to be something that was going to be easy for me. And so I was really scared about that. And I remember asking my mom and my sister and my mother-in-law, and my husband just kept saying, "You can do this, you can do this, you got it." And I'm like, "Okay, you're not the one who has a human being growing inside of you." But I just never saw myself having that, and I just couldn't vision it. And so, one, it made me scared, and two, I just didn't think it was real. But on the opposite side, I never worried about nursing either of my kids. I knew that I was going to be able to do that, and I knew that was going to be easy. And so I didn't have any fear about that. But actually, the time around having the babies, I really could not picture what it was going to be like. And I feel like even when you talk to people and they give you a good idea of what that's going to feel like or be like, I didn't relate to any of it at all. So
they induced you because of the baby's health.
Right.
What was the process of that and after that?
So I got hospitalized early that morning with high blood pressure, and they wanted to monitor baby, and so we did all that. And then as the day went on, I had actually been hospitalized three times before for them to monitor her and watch my blood pressure. But by the third time, they're like, "You know, I don't think we can keep doing this anymore." So early that morning, we were admitted, and I told my husband, "You should go home and get our bag. I think we're going to have a baby today." And he's like, "You're only 33 weeks. It's, you know, that's way too early." And I'm like, "Well, I just feel like we've kind of used up all of our get-out-of-hospital-free cards. We've been here so many times, and they've watched us so many days that I just feel like they're going to make that decision." And then I remember they sent a nursery nurse to come up and talk to me, and that's when I kind of felt like they had decided that I was going to have the baby, and I wasn't really there yet. And they told me that when you have babies at 33, 34 weeks, that they're not able to do all of the things that they need to do, so they prepped me for the worst picture. And they prepped me for the best picture, and of course I started crying because I'm a nurse, and they told me she would need a breathing tube and a feeding tube and stay in the hospital potentially for up to 2 months. And so I knew what was going to be happening, but I just didn't know what decisions they had started making. And so at 7 that night, they gave me, and I think it was Pitocin, I don't even remember what medications, but they gave me a medication to induce labor. And they said that that would take 12 hours, and then the next day I would be able to start pushing and have baby. And 2 hours into it, about 5 to 7 people rushed into my room and started putting a surgical cap on me. They handed scrubs to my husband, and they said, we're taking you to have the baby right now. So what they had seen on the monitor was that the baby was having signs that she wasn't getting enough oxygen. So they opted to just go for it. And I think I found out at 9:13 that they were going to do this, and I had baby by 9:30. So I didn't ever really experience any of that. I remember being halfway out of it when they do like a spinal medication, and I don't even remember talking to my husband, saying anything. I don't remember really much. I remember asking a lot over and over, is the baby a boy or a girl? And they kept saying, she's not out yet, or he's not out yet, baby's not out yet. And it wasn't until my husband walked over and he said, it's a girl. So it was really strange because, you know, I guess people talk about how long they were in labor and all these things. I had never really felt a real true labor contraction. I had never pushed, and I had never done the typical birth things. Although I guess C-sections are pretty typical now, I just don't think most people get to experience them in such a drastic measure.
So did they like pull your baby out and show her to you, or did they like rush her away?
No, well, yes and no. So they pulled her out and they showed her to me over the drape. And next thing I know, they've got her over on the side of the room. And I do remember saying to my husband, stay with her. And so he went with her, and they rushed her down to the special care nursery. And so at that point I had, what's that?
She tiny.
She was 5 pounds, which considering we were really happy about, she was 5 pounds, and they said she just wasn't breathing very well. So they brought her down to special care nursery. They did oxygen. My husband took tons of pictures of her because he's like, it was really weird. They had her head trapped in this oxygen tank, and it was very strange. But about an hour down there, she was starting to drop her blood sugar, and thankfully the nursery nurse who was working that day, she prefers to solve that by bringing baby to mom instead of just feeding them sugar. And so she brought her up to me. I was completely out of it, so they held baby on me while she nursed. And she was a champ. She was so good at it. Like, we have lots and lots of pictures remembering her, like, latching for the first time was not hard at all. So it was really good.
You must have, I mean, if I try to put myself in your shoes, I think throughout that whole pregnancy part and to the birth part, I'd be like kind of pissed that, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's having this magical experience of yeah. being pregnant and having this birth and anticipation, and yeah. you were like robbed of that and then had all these complications. Mm-hmm. So what was, you know, what was your emotional state then, and then also to the point where you like have this baby and mm-hmm. you get to like now bond, and were you able to bond or?
So my blood pressure didn't get fixed by having her, and that was what their hope was, is that by having her, and actually the day later after I had her, my labor nurse came up to see me, and she said, I just held your hands, and I don't even remember that, and I remember saying, don't seize, and she just kept saying that over and over in her head because my blood pressure was so high. So bonding was a challenge because I felt horrible the whole first week I had her, I still had really high blood pressure. It did not make me feel better. So that I felt really robbed of, because they basically sold this whole, we'll do this emergency C-section and you'll feel better instantly. Your problem is that you're pregnant. And that wasn't the case. And so I actually went into the ER a week later and was hemorrhaging. And they like opened me up in the middle of the ER to stop some of the bleeding, and it was the most, probably of everything that I went to, probably the most painful thing I've gone through of all of it. And so I, to say I bonded with my child in the first week, I know. I basically felt like a food source for the first week. And after that, I mean, it got progressively better, but you know, I have two kids, and I will tell you, bonding with my first child versus my second is night and day, because I didn't have quite a dramatic experience as with my second. But I really hated hearing people say, "I love feeling pregnant." Like, that for me was the biggest dagger in the heart. I just didn't even want to talk to those people. My mother-in-law was adamant that she felt really great through pregnancy. She never felt the baby kick, and she was never nauseated. And so I kept hearing these never, never, nevers, and it made me really just resent her for a time period. And I can say that now because it's 4 years later and I don't feel that way anymore, but I just didn't want to talk to her. She was not a comforting source for me. And it made me feel like what I was going through was not real, and that I couldn't have possibly felt the way I felt because she didn't feel that way. Sorry. but I think now I've talked to lots of people who everybody's story is so different that it makes me feel like it doesn't matter anymore. And so I have my story and you have your story, and they're not all created equal. And yes, do I wish that I had no problems and felt great and all of that? But at the time, you know, basically from the time my daughter was born to 2 years, I was pretty much mad at how all of it happened, because I felt robbed and I felt like a failure. I felt like I did not give birth to my child the way I'm supposed to. And, you know, does that make me less of a mom or not as tough? Because, you know, you talk to people who are like, "Oh, I pushed and labored for 36 hours. I'm like, well, I basically had my daughter in 17 minutes and I didn't really do anything. So that was hard. But 4 years later, I don't really even care, because I've got this beautiful little 4-year-old girl and a 2-year-old now. And but I don't know if this interview would be the same, you know, 3 years ago, because I probably would have had a lot more, and I still obviously harbor some resentment towards the comments I heard. But I don't know, it's hard to put myself back in the spot I was in when she was born, because I don't really want to go back there at all.
So when you were hemorrhaging, it was internal from where they
So they actually said it was on top of my muscle but underneath my skin, and just because of the high blood pressure. So when you have high blood pressure and you're supposed to be healing, you just, it's like the dam comes loose again. And so here I was in the ER with a 7-day-old at home. I did not want my 7-day-old in an ER. And so the first time David ever had to stay home with her was when she was 7 days old. And I would pump and my dad would go bring it to David. And we just had this horrible cycle. And I probably tell people to a fault how hard that first year is. And maybe it was especially hard for me, so maybe that's not fair for me to tell that to people. But I think of, like, the things I heard from my mother-in-law, how everything was easy and having kids is easy and everything is easy. And I just didn't want anybody to feel like when it is hard, that you only have someone telling you how easy it is.
Right. Or that it's your fault that it's...
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So what was your husband... Can you... I mean, it's hard to imagine what someone else is feeling, but it must have been hard for him to see you going through so much pain and suffering where you were.
I think... because he's a product of his mom, he tried to just stay positive. And we joke about it now. Like, he, you know, we get out taquitos out of the fridge, and he knows that I won't touch those because I got sick on that so many times. And it's a joke now. But I think he just, he didn't know what else to do other than to try to be positive, because I'm sure being negative wasn't going to help. And I don't, honestly, he says there was really no win situation for me in that instance. He gave me my space a lot, because that's really just what I wanted. He said it was terrifying to watch his, they actually let him in the OR very early. Most of the time they don't let dads in until right when they're going to get baby out. But they knew that I was a nurse, and they knew that he, you know, is a very kind of level-headed kind of guy, and so they let him in. And he said the one thing that terrified him the most was just when they started cutting me open, because he said, you know, you're conflicted. You want the baby out, and you want your kid to be okay, but you also have your wife. And then when I made him leave to go with Lexi, he was like, I didn't want to leave you, but... you know, you told me stay with her. And so I said, that's absolutely what I wanted. And I was not even with it enough anyways. And so the glimpse of Lexi that my family got was her being rushed down to special care nursery. So I think they paused for maybe one little picture, but you know, that's all they got to hear. They didn't know how everything went. They didn't know how I was. They didn't know how she was. And it was all kind of whirlwind.
Did you do, and this is an impossible question, but did you ever feel like the person you were before you got pregnant again after that?
I don't think so. I don't think you can ever be that person. I think of myself before I was pregnant and a mom, and I wish I could go back and tell that person, you need to enjoy sleeping in. You need to enjoy going to the grocery store without two kids jumping up and down in the shopping cart and driving you nuts. But I think that's also a part of me that makes me happy to be a mom, because, like, I've left that me behind. But I think I kind of wasted my time. And it's weird. I have less time now, but I feel like I accomplish more because I don't have time to be lazy about anything, and I don't have, there's no time to let anything go to waste. So I feel like my pre-mom self was super lazy and did not get the most out of life. But I also have a 4 and a 2-year-old now, and things are easy. I mean, I had my kids 2 years apart, so having a 2-year-old and a newborn, that was like an all-time, oh my gosh, I'm never going to have 2 seconds to myself. But that's obviously not true. And, you know, so when I see moms who have kids who are really close together and they've just had their second, like, I promise it'll get easier.
Well, before we get into the second story, which I'm fascinated to know how that came about, I think I would have been like, using every kind of brick and drawing. I didn't get pregnant again.
Yeah.
That's my mindset, because I'm sticking with the one.
Right.
But before then, since this first story I think is different than the second story, I'm just
saying,
okay.
Can you think
of maybe a word or a phrasing of words that kind of summarizes that experience for you? And no, it's like another challenging question, but we're separating these stories into themes like connection and faith and, you know, different things like that emerge, so it's helpful.
This may sound really morbid, but, like, hidden fear, because I was afraid, and I didn't feel like I could tell people that I was afraid, because I'm supposed to be the mom, and I'm about to have a kid, And I was scared constantly. And I think my husband knew that. But again, he was like, positive, positive, positive. We got to stay positive because you're being so negative right now. And fundamentally, the kind of person I am is a very positive person. And I think that was a side he had never, ever seen before. The constant self-doubt. You know, the constant, I'm failing at this. I'm not doing a good job. So I just was constantly hiding from my own fear. And I told my mom a lot. And my mom was probably my greatest support. My husband was super positive. My mother-in-law was unrealistic. And my mother was just like, this is hard. And she would come over to my house almost every day while I was on bed rest, and we'd do puzzles in bed because I wasn't allowed to sit up. And she never made me feel like I wasn't allowed to be grumpy or complain or, you know, afraid. So of all of the people, probably the only person who really saw how I felt was my mom. And I don't know that I would have ever guessed that, because she had 4 kids, and I'm like, gosh, she's done this. She's going to say the same thing as my mother-in-law. She's going to say how easy it was and how you can do it. But she didn't. She was like, this is really hard. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, and you'll be stronger for it, and however you feel is okay. So that was really kind of my takeaway, you know, as far as like moving back to where my family was. Like, thank God for my mom. I don't know how else I would have gotten through it.
But that's a really nice message for your mom.
Yes, I need to tell her that more often.
Well, if she hears the story, she'll get that. Yeah. Sure to bring a tear to her eye. But all right, let's get into the second.
Okay. So second baby.
Yeah. So okay. What were your thoughts? Were you getting the baby urge again?
Yes, but I'm a planner, and I think I just always had a vision of how my life was supposed to be, and my husband often describes me as, like, I am really good at achieving my goals, because the other sappy part of our romance story is that when I was 9 years old, I went home, and I said, I'm going to marry David Simon to my 16-year-old sister, and she's like, oh, gosh. Erica's got a school crush. So he often tells me I'm like a really, I put goal setting at a level that is just kind of neurotic. But in my mind, I was always going to have 2 kids, and I wanted them to be close together in age, because I actually have a brother who's 9 or 10 years older than me, and I don't feel like he's a brother. He's a kind of like a cool uncle. And so I always told David, it was like, if we have kids, we're going to have them close together. And I don't know what sort of craziness, but probably baby craze, of you've gone through this really hard thing, and a year later, you're thinking about doing this to yourself again. So I don't know where that came from, but I do remember one of our good friends who had a baby the same time as Lexi. On Halloween, they told us they were pregnant, and I was like, crazy idea, let's get pregnant. And you know, she was 13 months by then, and again, I was like, well, I'm breastfeeding, so I won't be able to get pregnant for a while. Silly myth. A week later, I was pregnant with Brandon. So again, I'm a really good goal setter. I was hoping it would take a year, 6 months, something like that, but Christmas Eve, I was certain I was pregnant, and so I took a pregnancy test on Christmas Eve, and Christmas Day, we were like, you know, yeah, I'm only 4 weeks probably, but we're just going to tell the family, because we would tell our family whether something happened to the baby or not. So that was our parents' one of their Christmas presents. I guess that would have been 2012, because Brandon was born in 2013. So of course, then totally excited, moved to total fear again, because I didn't want to be sick. And I did. I was still sick for 20 weeks, like nauseous, vomiting, all of that stuff. But I think I knew that it was going to get better this time, and so the fear was not as intense. And I knew my tricks and my things, and don't bring meat near me, and don't cut, you know, onions near me, and I need to sleep for 12 hours. And so I had more things to help me get through that time. And we found out the sex of our second, because we were like, well, we got a surprise with the first, and let's find out with the second. And it did not take but 2 seconds to realize he was going to be a boy. He was pretty showy. But I don't know, like, my pregnancies with my kids are a lot like my kids are. Lexi is very intense and very, you know, kind of high maintenance, but really full of life. My son is like mellow, chill, you know, so I couldn't have had 2 different experiences. Yeah, I was still really sick, but I didn't feel stressed. We weren't moving. We weren't coming to a new place. I had people who were looking after us. And I started to have some blood pressure issues, but not nearly like what I had with Lexi, and I never went on bed rest. I gained, you know, a normal amount of weight. I felt good. And, you know, it's just weird how different that was. And maybe I didn't intensify as much of the stuff I was going through because I'd already been through it. So it's hard to say.
Was it an automatic assumption that you were going to have another C-section? Can you talk about your thoughts about the birth?
That was a big question mark. So I obviously knew that there had been a lot of women who've had successful vaginal births after. In my mind, I was like, I just cannot see me pushing. I don't see a situation where I'm going to get an opportunity to do this the way I thought I was going to do it. And I could not vision myself pushing and having a baby that way. And I don't know what it was. And, you know, I would hope that that feeling never, like, swayed them to do one thing or another. But everything with Brandon was really, really mellow up until the actual night he was going to be born. And really up until like the 20 minutes before he was going to be born was really mellow. I actually went into labor. So I hit 36 weeks. And after that, they pretty much tell you, well, baby can come any day, which is sometimes very cruel. Because think about the women who go 41 weeks and you're like, you told me 5 weeks ago that I was going to have a baby. At 36 weeks, they said, you know, do whatever activity you want because, like, you can basically have a safe, normal, healthy baby. And so at 37 weeks, we had a ton of rain. There were pine cones and sprouts all over the yard. So, you know, I was like, you know what? I know doing a ton of squats gets you ready for labor. So I'm going to go do yard work. And at 6 a.m. that morning, I started to have, like, I didn't think it was contractions, but I found out later, obviously, that I'd been in labor for 15 hours and hadn't even known about it. So I was having, like, little tension, but it didn't feel like labor. And so I went over to my in-laws to have dinner that night, and I had this contraction that kind of took my breath away, and I stopped. And my mother-in-law looked at me, and she's like, are you in labor? And I was like, I don't know. I've never been in labor, so I don't know what it's supposed to feel like. And it wasn't painful. So I just, maybe. And so then we started timing him. And by that time, I had already had my first, like, tightening at 6 a.m., and now it was 6 p.m. And so 12 hours later, I was like, I guess I've been in labor all day, and I just didn't even know it. And so by 11 p.m., my contractions were 3 minutes apart. And David and my father-in-law walk in the door. My father-in-law, he was like, I just timed that. That was less than 5 minutes. You need to get to the hospital. And so I've never seen this man nervous in his whole life. He is calm and cool person. And he was like, you got to get her in a car and you need to go to the hospital. And it was just kind of hilarious. So 11 p.m. we were there. We were in triage. They told us, yep, you're probably going to have baby. And then my blood pressure spiked really high. So they were basically said, here's all the drugs we're going to throw at you. And one of the things I kind of skipped with Lexi is they had had me on magnesium after I had her. And anybody who has to ever be on that drug, I think is probably the strongest person ever, because it was the most horrible thing I've ever gone through outside of the hemorrhaging after. But I just felt numb. I could not think. I could not stand. They tried to stand me up at the bed, and I couldn't do it. So they said, well, we're going to start magnesium on you. And I said, no, you're not. And I said, what are my other options? And they said, well, we can try magnesium and you can have a vaginal delivery, but likely you're going to end up with a C-section, or we can go and have a C-section right now and no magnesium. And I said, that's what I want to do. And so sometimes I feel like, again, I robbed myself of an experience, but I also had a lot of fear from that last time, and I didn't want to go through that again. And 3 days following having Lexi, I felt completely cut off. Like, I could not do anything, like, verbalize anything. I don't even really remember that time frame very much. So I, you know, the minute they threatened that drug, and that's what it felt like, was a threat, I said, not a chance. I'm not doing it. So Brandon was going to be born C-section. And by then I was okay with it, because I just, again, I never pictured myself pushing for whatever reason. And when they got him out, they were like, it is such a good thing that we did not push, because the cord was wrapped around him 3 times, and my uterus was so thin that they were confident, had I pushed, that I would have abrupted. So I guess things happen for a reason. I don't know what to tell you on that
It's interesting how closely tied your thoughts, emotions, and body is. You know what I mean? Like, what your body needs, like, mm-hmm. signals to your brain, which signals to your, you know what I mean?
Right.
Your thoughts. It's amazing.
I have tried to share what I went through so many times, and that's probably why I feel like I know how I felt about it so solidly, because it was so traumatic. And I guess that's absolutely, like, the word I would use is traumatic, because I don't think anybody very well prepares you for those kinds of things. And I think most people assimilate having babies as, like, a normal part of existence, and it's easy and everyone can do it, and for many people that is the case. But I think when you meet or talk to somebody who that's not how it was for them, they treat that event with a greater deal of respect. Like, I have great respect for people who go in and, like, they have their babies at home, and things are great for them, because that's a little bit how I feel about nursing. Like, that was never a problem for me. But I also acknowledge that I know it's one of the toughest things people have ever done. And that just wasn't for me. But I, on the flip side, pregnancy was miserable. I was a horrible pregnant person. But, you know, so I guess that was my one blessing, is that I had a horrible lead up and a wonderful finish.
Yeah, deliveries were like being in a car accident.
Yeah. I mean, so I don't know that I would, like, I'm not traumatized by it, but probably was I traumatized by it immediately following? Absolutely. And in the first 3 to 6 months, I don't know that I really know how to be a mom. It, you know, and looking back, I probably should have gotten help or done something. I would definitely say I had postpartum depression. I was never diagnosed. I never saw anybody, but knowing who I am now and who I was 3 years ago, I was not okay. And, you know, I guess you just pick up the pieces and you move on, because you've got 2 kids who rely on you and you don't really get a choice. So,
yeah, I mean, it is, it's like, and I say this a lot, that my mother was saying, oh, it's like you're just surviving off love. And I was like, yeah, it's that. But it's also like, it's like, this is your new job, and you just do your job.
Right. And, you know, I think there's some people who, like, I say it's my full-time job, right? And I think some people don't like that because it elicits that it's undesired work or something like that. And I'm not saying it's not undesirable because obviously I get paid through my kids totally loving on me. And I am this, you know, the center of their universe most of the time. But it's a job. I full-fledged, wholeheartedly feel that. And, you know, for anyone who doesn't describe it that way, that's great. I'm glad that they feel differently. But it's hard work for me. It did not come naturally to me, being pregnant, being a mom, and also the amount of opinions people have about what you should do. That is probably what played into, like, the first year always feeling down on myself. You know, you're not doing this right. You're not feeding them the right food. Why are you still nursing them? They're 13 months. You know, so lots of opinions and judgments. And with my second, I basically was like, I don't care what your rules are. This is what works for us. And I will not give it up. I mean, my two-year-old comes into our room every morning at 4 and snuggles with me until 2. And I don't care what the books say. But I couldn't have said that with my first, because, you know, I was told, oh, you have to put them in their crib and you have to let them cry and you, lots of rules. And I didn't like that, but I also didn't know how to say I didn't like it. So,
yeah, totally. One of the things my mom always says too, she goes, mom is spelled G-U-I-L-T. It's like, there's so much. Yeah. Like, you're not just making decisions about your own life now, you're making decisions for someone else.
I think, though, like, it's funny, you go to a playground and my kid's wearing a helmet and another kid's not, and that mom instantly comes over and is like, I didn't know you were putting your kids in helmets at this age. Like, how bad can they possibly wreck? I'm like, I only put my kids in helmets because I saw another mom put their kids in helmets, and so then I felt like the bad mom. And, you know, it's funny how we put each other through so much and we haven't even talked about it. And so I have really tried to become so laid back on some things. I am very type A in a lot of my life. But when it comes to being a mom, that is actually one of the areas where I don't. I'm like, they want to run around and be crazy and yell and scream and they want to play monster game. Let's do that. I wish I could go back to that where I didn't have to, like, sit in my chair for 20 minutes and eat 5 peas and do this and, like, constantly count and keep track. And, you know, as long as they're healthy and happy, that's really all I care about. And I went through the first year of motherhood with a really close friend, and we constantly had these conversations. You're feeding them that? I wasn't going to feed them that because this book told me that at 12 months they're only supposed to be having this. And I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I just decided to throw that rule out the window because, and so I think if I hadn't had her, I would have had way more guilt than I already did. But, you know, we would basically be each other's testing the waters of, okay, what are you doing now? Oh, I'm doing this. Okay, well, that works for you, but this works for us. And that was really helpful. My sister is 6 years older than me, so we didn't have kids really at the same time until I had my second. She actually had her third. And same thing. She does completely different things with her kids and, you know, touts that they all eat this at this time. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I'm done putting that much pressure on myself. I already put enough pressure to last a lifetime on myself just in the pregnancy of my first.
That's really good. Yeah, actually, it's even a good ending statement there. Is there anything else that you didn't mention that you want to mention?
Oh, gosh. I'm sure there is, but I don't know. I just was, you know, so scared the whole time, and so I don't even know that I remember things as accurate as they are. I had more respect for my husband during that time than I will ever have in my entire life, because he basically nursed me back to health. And I'm the nurse. I'm the one who's supposed to do that. One of the things that shocks my coworkers is I had a time period where my abdomen was open for 6 weeks, and he actually did my dressing changes for 6 weeks. They just had a nurse come and teach him once, and he did it the rest of the time. And so our relationship has surpassed a level I ever thought existed. So that's the only thing, is like, I think it's unfortunate that David's story is not captured here, because I'm sure he has a totally different take on it. But he stayed the course, and I was crazy for the last 4 years.
So was that when you had the hemorrhage?
Yeah. Yeah, they had to keep me open until it healed, because it was just, there was so much bleeding, and it was really weird.
So opening you up alleviated some of the pressure then?
Pressure, and they actually had, I had a ton of blood that they had to get out of me, so it was not very pretty.
Was he changing the dresses in the hospital?
No, we did it at home. Yeah, and we took Lexi on her very first camping trip at 5 weeks, and he set up his little sterile field on our camping trip and did it all there and then, and it was just like nothing was even wrong, which was kind of nice, instead of having a nurse coming every day and make you feel like you're still not well and you need help or you need to go to the hospital or something. And so he just was like, I don't see any purpose in anybody coming, let's just do it here and we'll go in if we need help.
How was your C-section scar and all that healed up?
The first one was really bad. It was quite thick and jagged and all of this stuff, but again, the blessing of having a second is they actually brought in a plastic surgeon the second time around and completely changed the scar, and you would never know that I had this horrible, like, misshapen C-section from my first. So kudos to whoever decided that one.
Did you have a scar from the hemorrhage, opening opened up from the hemorrhage?
Yeah, it was really, like, wide, and after that C-section, I couldn't feel my stomach for probably 4 to 6 months. It was just, like, tingly. So whatever they did the second time around fixed all that, and also they just cut out the scar tissue from the first time. So I don't know, I guess it kind of a unknown benefit.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. That was great. Yeah, I mean, you just don't realize what you're capable of enduring.
Yeah.
You know, how strong you are. At least it's amazing.
Well, and I've heard Catherine's story before too, and I think that's one of the reasons we've become such good friends, is we both had really kind of traumatic labors and births and pregnancies, and so I think on some level we felt comfortable like talking about that and not feeling like, oh, you had this happy, wonderful, you know, pregnancy that's textbook and should be on the cover of a magazine. But I don't know. I'm sure that is exactly why she roped me into doing this.
That's how Catherine and I bonded. Mine was really traumatic, too. But it's because you're really sharing. Birth is intimate in terms of your personal experience that's emotionally intimate, mm-hmm. but then also it's physically, you're talking about very private things, right? You know, and so it is a really deep way to bond with mm-hmm. someone.
And I did notice, like, my friend who I told you we raised our first for the first year, she didn't talk as much about, like, the details, and I feel like because I'm a nurse, I probably feel more comfortable with that. And I do know that with her second time around, she was sharing more things with me, which, you know, I was like, I don't know if that's just because she's more comfortable with me now, but, you know, she had a really easy first pregnancy, and so she's like, I didn't want to tell you about it because I didn't want to make you feel bad. And so it was interesting that even though she had a good experience, she didn't feel like she could even talk about it because she didn't want to, you know, thwart the experience that I had gone through.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're good. Ashley, anything else you want to add? Okay, I'm going to turn off.